You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend. The legend. Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
Welcome to episode 244 of Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast. My name is Eric Stromquist, and I am joined, as usual, by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Bahama Mama man, Kenny Smyers, the control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Man, Kenny, man, welcome back. We're back on the show, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been 2 weeks, and it feels like about a month. It's been an exciting 2 weeks for us. Me, personally, I had a daughter, Stephanie. They got married to Sam Davidowitz, and they're doing very well. We had a great wedding. We had beautiful weather. It was an outside affair, and we went from there. They went down to Bahamas in advance of us, and we came down 2 days later. And when the family travels with the honeymooners, it's called a family moon. So we were on a family moon down to Bahamas, and boy, is that place beautiful. In fact, we were there the week after you all had left. So you left the Atlantis. We didn't stay there. The kids did, but we stayed at a house along the harbor there, and it was just magnificent. I mean, so pretty. Every day you just wake up, have coffee, looking at this incredibly blue slate of perfect water, and it did storm a couple of times, but just a really pretty place. We traveled, went to a place where they make cigars, Grey Cliff. That was really neat. Grey Cliff, went to the distillery, and just saw stuff from the pirates started building it in 1724. And the Duke of Windsor actually owned the establishment there, was part owner, I guess. And then where the seat of government was, we went through a couple of tours in that area. So it was very fun, and then went to Atlantis. And I heard you were hogging the water park.
We had a good time. We were down there the week before, like Kenny said, for the Belimo Platinum Controls distributor meeting, which we'll talk a bit about that on the show. And it was amazing. But Bermuda's a fascinating place, Kenny. There's a series on Stars, I think it was, Stars, called Black Sails, which is all about, you know, the pirates and how that was working. And they would essentially rob the ships, and they take them over to North Carolina and sell them to the Americans over there. So a lot of history there, and it's kind of very befitting. A lot of people are asking Kenny about the video from the little video blurb I put up last week. The question I asked, I had the pictures of the shark circling around. And then I also had the picture of the big, beautiful ray, a huge ray that's just gracefully just going through the tank, and sort of asked, which would you rather be, the sharks or the rays? And it seems like that's where we're showing up right now in the marketplace. We've been predicting sort of this tsunami, if you will, of change coming about, you know, along with Ken Sinclair and others. And it seems like it's hitting the shores. The vendors are scrambling. I think, you know, one of the things, the big events we mentioned last week was our good friend John Donahue was sold to Kiwi. So they're partnering up now. And so it's kind of the whole controls world is a buzz right now with change. And so the question sort of becomes, the reason I put that video up and asked the question, which would you rather be, is it seems like your choices are you can be sort of a shark, you know, anonymous sharks going around circles waiting for the scraps to fall off in the water, like a predator, or you can be like this big, beautiful manta ray that's just sort of gracefully flowing through the tank and everything gets out of its way, and I think it pretty much takes what it wants. So Kenny, what say you, Kenny? Are you a shark or are you a ray?
Well, I'd like to say I could be both when I need to be, and I want to be both of them because I don't want to be either one of them. But I did see that. I actually went to the same place where you visited, and it's an amazing place. What an incredible investment they made in that place. It's like a Las Vegas style, you know, fun, and for adults too. I mean, because the water park's fun. But the comments that you said there are very important, and I think you're right. So it's like knowing a storm's coming, and the disruption storms out there, and you see it hit other big buildings. Now it finally comes into your neighborhood. All of a sudden, it gets scary. It gets to be where you need to make the wisest choices you can, and that's where some of the collaboration and some of the interesting things, you know, like control trends. You know, when we talk to people now, this is very valuable information because we're seeing a lot of the disruptors having their day and having success because the market was prepared preparing for it. We're seeing just a rush to eliminate any duplications in the systems. We're seeing a rush to unload any logistical duplications, reship and stuff. So all these things are forcing this channel to get tighter, smaller, leaner. As the architecture inside of a building shrunk, and instead of having, you know, the local controller going to a area controller, going up into a, you know, another controller, and then up into a front end and into the internet, now we're seeing these IoT wizards coming up, making these things talk directly to the right up into the internet, right up into the cloud. They don't need any intervening controllers. And we're seeing the reverse of that. We saw everything go up into the cloud. Now we're seeing edge controllers doing a tremendous amount of onboard processing and giving that vital information right to the process that needs it the quickest and not going to the cloud. So, and we're learning about how we're all just walking creators of data. But too much data is just, absolutely overwhelming. So I think in our industry, the HVAC industry, building automation, as Ken St. Clair has, he's been peeling the bells here for a long time, saying it's coming. IoT is going to make an impact to all of us at every level.
Well, yeah, and so have we, Kenny. I mean, we've been calling for this for a while. We've seen it coming. It's a little bit like, you see the movies where the car crash is getting ready to happen, and everything goes into slow motion. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is something you cannot put your head in the sand and just hope it goes away. I mean, it's going to affect every single one of us. It's going to be definitely the biggest tsunami we're going to see in our lifetimes in terms of change. And part of that, Kenny, is because you got smart buildings, you got data, you got everybody thinks this is the market they want to be in, right? So everybody from Silicon Valley is coming in, the IBMs of the world, everybody's trying to get into controlling the smart buildings. You got the consolidation of the silos, right? Now you got the master systems there. The lighting people think that they can connect the building better. The elevator people think they can. The HVAC people think they can. So you got that piece going on. And then you got the Amazon effect. So everybody's selling online now. So the things you would use before to finance your business, right? Meaning that, the stuff that you could count on every single day where people would walk in and buy stuff and you can make decent money on it. So now you could afford to have these engineers support your customers. If you're a contractor, same sort of thing. And, now they're starting to sell building automation controls on Amazon, for crying out loud. How long is it going to be before integrators start selling, programming services on Amazon? It's crazy times. And I don't think Amazon's the end all be all. They're vulnerable like everybody else. The first time somebody says, hey, we want a dividend, their world's probably going to come crashing out. So nobody's immune to this, is one thing I'd like to say. But you sort of have to have a strategy. You can't put your head in the sand. And this is something, you haven't had a chance to really check into it yet, but while you were gone, we connected with this group. And we're going to be bringing you a lot of information. I can't say more about it now, other than the fact that, believe it or not, there's a playbook for these sorts of changes. And Kenny and I have connected with this group, and they've collected data on companies through the last several tsunamis, what the companies did were successful, what they did, what the companies did that weren't successful. And believe it or not, we think we're going to have access to a playbook to give our community the ability to at least make some informed decisions and some informed choices.
Sure. And then we're getting some of the filtering too from all the, it's a lot of noise at first, but a lot of that's now getting some of the really bright minds that we've talked to, and we got a guest coming on that they explain it there for every time nature abhors a vacuum. So if something closes, if the door closes, the door opens somewhere else, and our market is going to shift because we still have tremendous potential. We still have tremendous markets that are underdeveloped, underserviced, and it's some surprising statistics that 4.6 million buildings are without real serious energy management or building control, and so we're going to have to shift gears and shift focus and find out how to service those markets, and then maybe collect a new assortment of things to tools, and tool sets. But so for every ill omen that I think we see or we have to cover, we see other potential opportunities. So
huge opportunities. And I tell you what, Kenny, before we bring our first disruptive guest on for the show, there's a post that you posted a while back, and I think it bears talking about, which is the Active Cyber Defense Security Act amends the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act to make limited retaliatory strikes against cyber cyber criminals legal in America. What does that mean? Are we going to have like cyber rangers or cyber Navy SEALs, or what's the deal here?
That was a really exciting thing for me to see, because, you know, the cyber security, of course, and the, you know, the cyber world is top trend in the top five trends of this year as well. And you know, and we talked about the insurance, we talked about different ways to respond to it, but our government has we have two people that proposed a bill that would allow big corporations to work in conjunction with the federal people and the government folks. The government can't deal with this. It's a kind of a crowdsourcing thing where the big people that have, you know, very, very competent staffs can actually trap some of these the dark web people that are coming in and doing, violating their system or trying to hack it. They have the ability to follow them and then go in and sabotage the dark webs.
Strike back, baby. Right.
Right. So, but they say it's very complicated, and they don't want to see it. So it says Congress holds that the active cyber defense techniques should only be used by qualified defenders with a high degree of confidence and attribution, and that extreme caution should be taken to avoid impacting intermediary computers or resulting in an escalatory cycle of cyber activity. So the caveat there but there's some people out there that are very, very good at cybersecurity, and they're white hats. And our government, I think, rather than trying to hire everybody or do everything itself, it's going to turn to kind of a crowdsourcing.
Mercenaries, baby. Fred Gordy, our friend Fred Gordy, has become a mercenary. Billy the Kid Reyes is going to be a mercenary.
So the idea, though, is don't pick a fight you can't win, because you could bring more harm than good upon yourself. But they give so many incidents and things about, especially with the ransomware, and it's escalating. The dark side of the web represents about 98% of the web, and so what we see with Facebook and all our stuff we're doing here, Skype and everything, doesn't even it's the tip of the iceberg, and the major portions of the web are not even exposed, and you get through to the tour. And if you start pulling on that string, we talked about the Future Crimes by Mark Goodman, where he goes into the great depth of how to protect yourself. And that is basically, don't go on the internet.
I'm kind of thinking that might be it. But listen, I tell you what, we got, you talk about the gangster. We got a technology gangster as our first guest here, man. And I say that in a very positive way. I think he's one of the most brilliant guys in our industry. He's been around our industry for a while. He's with the company now, and they are doing some really, really innovative things. If you don't know about him, you're going to want to know about him. So, Kenny, how about introducing our first guest?
Keep on changing, so I'm keeping on top of every fat cat who walks through my door. I'm a space cowboy.
Our first guest today is an expert in building automation and energy management. His whole career has been dedicated to optimizing enterprise building managements, and we're going to have a great chat with Mr. Steve Gazalimian, president of Optergy.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. I love coming on the show, and I enjoy the website tremendously, and I share it all the time, so... it's good to be here again.
We appreciate that, because I tell you what, we might not be controls guys, but we play controls guys on the internet, right? So, so Steve, man, for our listeners, we've had Steve on several times. Our first interview, Steve, I'll never forget. The first words out of your mouth on control trends was, "We're going to disrupt on price." But so that gives you a flavor. But for our listeners tonight, might not know, give them a brief overview of Optergy, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the products and solutions.
Yeah, for sure. So Optergy is a business based on products. So we make products for the industry, for building management and energy management purpose. I come to this business from a long career in selling building management primarily, but with some expertise on the energy side as well. And when I got to Optergy, we looked at the products that we had, which was primarily software for larger enterprises. And we wanted to bring this sort of smart energy management to everybody, to every building, to the smallest building, to residences and you name it, strip malls. We wanted to bring this sort of concept of conserving, but at every granular level, without having it be a premium offering for only the most expensive buildings. We wanted to sort of democratize that control and energy management. So that's kind of where I come into it. I also, because I have a sales background, I was recruiting resellers in my previous job, and I'm doing the same for Optigy. So we're building a global brand because we know that energy management and building management is a global need. And we're looking to basically move across the world to seamlessly move between languages and custom and local preferences, and basically have a thing that's desirable for everybody's Internet of Things.
Well, very cool. Well, listen, you mentioned energy management, and that's something, you know, we haven't heard a lot about lately. You know, it seems like with the new administration, at least here in the U.S., that people are focusing on other things they want their system to do. But you mentioned energy management a couple of times. Why?
Yeah, so there's a couple of so while we, you know, on the building management side of things, we've been sort of focused on things like big data and cloud and analytics and this sort of stuff. But there's some other themes that are going on at the same time. And one that just sort of dropped in today's news, actually real timely for this conversation, is a talk about the global climate. Now, regardless of where you stand on sort of the effects of global climate change, the one thing that scientists have sort of been putting out there is the greenhouse gases and the contribution of people on the environment is basically a known, because we know how much carbon we're putting into the atmosphere. The impact of that is to be determined by scientists. But we can directly affect how much carbon gets put out into the environment. Now, our part is small, because we're dealing with one aspect of this whole ecosystem, if you will. But when you look at some other studies, I'll send this along in a link for your readers and for the podcast listeners. The U.S. Department of Energy put out a very interesting document called Small Buildings Equals Big Opportunity for Energy Savings. And the thing that's interesting about this particular study, you know that we have a keen interest in the small building and bringing energy and building management to the small building. First, to make the economics work, because we know that small buildings also have small budgets. When you look at these stats, they're actually quite staggering. And I'll just quote a couple of them for you. And then, like I said, I'll share the link. So the article starts off with 4.6 million small buildings across the nation, this is the United States, consume 44% of the overall energy use in buildings. That is an enormous wow. amount of energy. And if you read further down, it talks about small buildings and big energy use. And it says that most commercial buildings, 95%, are smaller than 50,000 square feet and occupy 51% of the total floor space of buildings, including malls, and consume nearly, this is a mind-blowing number too, 3 quadrillion BTU annually. So the small buildings have huge bills.
Who would have thought they'd be the big energy hogs, huh?
That's right. And the average small building size is kind of interesting too, because I always thought the number would be a little bit bigger. But according to the Department of Energy, the average small building size is less than 8,000 square feet. So these are not big, big buildings. When we say small, these are really quite small. You know, that could even be a big house in a rich neighborhood. It goes on to say about, you know, the opportunities for savings, and there's some staggering numbers there, like $30 billion in energy cost savings per year and potential energy savings of 45%, and it goes on. So like I said, I'll pass that article along, but I sat there, I read this, and I remember thinking, oh, this is good, this is a keeper, I gotta come back to this. And then it reminds me to redouble my efforts for the small building, because there's so much we can do for the small building. And that's what we've been working on since we launched our small building solution.
Well, Steve, you said something I really love. I wrote it down. I said, small buildings have small budgets. And I excuse me, I think one of the thing that nags me every day is when we do our presentations, and we work with contractors, and we try to influence engineers and building owners and the real estate, you know, the whole market. Why is it still the pushback on investing into a system? Do you think we have overpromised and underdelivered so much that the people are reluctant to get involved in the solutions?
Well, I think one challenge we have is just the way we're used to doing controls. So if you go back in time, and you guys are, you know, probably younger than me, but or at least aware of the era that controls really started in. And it really started as a function of HVAC, because HVAC was the big load in the building and the thing that needed a bit of control. It had lack of integration capability. It was really this big machine that consumed lots of resources and had lots of maintenance needs. And controls started there, and it moved into other areas as disparate standalone systems. And then we upped our skill level as we went through the years, and we integrated things, and BACnet helped bring all that stuff together, manufacturers and owners. And what we ended up in is a construction delivery cycle that doesn't really nourish the outcome of the building. It's about getting the project done and meeting a specification. And that's sort of a low bar of performance. That's a high bar for delivery on time, but a low bar for performance. So it's sort of the never-ending CapEx versus OpEx. You know, one's a capital expenditure and the other one's an operating. Those are two different pockets with two different hands in them. So I think part of this is that delivery cycle doesn't help us. So it means that we have to look at this almost in a different way. Like maybe, like if you look at different types of systems where they sell directly to the owner, like networking systems or, you know, other types of infrastructure, they don't necessarily go through a construction delivery process. So I think some bits of that have to change a little bit over time. Specifications need to get improved. We need to look at the delivery, the outcome that we want out of the building, not just get it on time.
Well, the greenhouse effect is what is sort of got me interested. This article that you cited, I mean, whether you think it's global warming or not, the greenhouse effect is that could be a driver, especially for the small buildings. So do you think we might see some new codes or new requirements for the small buildings? And that could be a boon for our industry, I would think.
Well, so there's a couple of we have some challenges. We've got basically some dissonance in our government and regulation. So there's areas of sort of incompatible conversation that's going on in the political sphere. But the one thing that I've found is that the scientific elements here, and this article that was published today was referenced by the EPA and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. So these are reputable scientific organizations that can put out comment that's valid, that's not politically motivated, that is purely based on science. One thing that I've seen in the last little while, if you also do some research on renewable energy and sort of the growth, the biggest growth opportunities is in renewable energy right now. And if you look at those different jobs, I think I've got yet another web link that I'll pass along. One of the jobs that they said was going to be in extreme high demand was of sustainability, and energy efficiency falls in that category. So we're going to see lots of growth in demand based on companies that want this, not based on government regulation. You can see it in the in other forms. We're doing more and more renewable energy. We're not being legislated to do that. We're actually doing it because we want to do it. And the growth of renewables is going to drive interest in energy management in the United States. It's a little slower in the U.S., except for pockets of areas like California and other places where there's high interest. But I think it's going to be company driven, not governmentally driven.
Well said. Yeah, Steve. Also, that's a great response, because I think you're right. I think that really hits it on the head, that our delivery cycle and our emphasis on getting things done fast and not worrying about the future. I think we're getting smarter. I think the Europeans and maybe other parts of the world have that more in mind than we do at the starting line. But you recently have released products, and one particular video that I remember is that we posted. You have so not only is it available to small sizes, we have affordable solutions, but they're fast and easy and they're efficient. The Proton setup in under 60 minutes. That was a pretty powerful presentation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Proton came to be because we saw the different products that were out there. I'm fluent with a number of different systems, including the Niagara stuff. And what we wanted to do is come up with workflow that matches the small budget. because if it's engineering intensive, if it takes a lot of time and effort to deploy a system, if you need highly skilled people, then all your costs ramp up. And it's the lowest total installed cost that matters. Let's face it, it's what the customer is going to pay for the solution, not just the product, but it's all the other stuff wrapped around the product. So we knew that we had to deliver a lowest total cost solution. And in order to do that, we needed to have workflow that meets the needs of that small solution. So it's great to have super sexy eye candy and all the cool widgets, but if they're hard to build, if they're time consuming and don't give the contractor a lot of love in terms of reuse or savings the next time they go to deploy, then that's not good for the contractor. For the end user, we need contextually important information for them, not just data streams of raw data. So we try to find a balance of easy to use energy management and building management feature for the end user, and super quick, easy to deploy for the contractor. So to that end, one of the things we did was we got rid of any notion of specialized training where you have to go and sign up and send a guy away for a week. We know that for contractors, they need to have their guys working, and those guys need to learn this stuff on the job or in an e-learning way. So that was one sort of aspect of our system that we took away. We took away the cost and expense of sending a guy away for training. The second thing we did was we built all our tools, all web-based tools, all the applications, all built into the software and into the product itself. So that means you don't need specialized software, specialized licensing. For the contractor, all they need is a browser. They don't need any specialized PCs or keys or dongles or anything to make it work. So low cost for them. They can change their laptops and they don't have to reinstall software. For the end user, that was particularly handy too, because we made a web-based system, it can all be updated on the fly and using a secure connection to the device itself. Again, you don't have to send a contractor to the field just to do a software update. You can just simply make an internet connection and poof, your software is updated.
Sounds like this is not your first rodeo here, Steve.
Well, we're very passionate. You've probably heard me rattle on, about this stuff before. But look, we love this. We love this business. We want our end users to be really happy to use our system and get great benefit out of it, not just have it sit in a closet somewhere where it doesn't ever get used. We want people to use it. We want people to get the best out of their buildings.
Good stuff. So tell us a little bit more about your reseller developments here in North America, because I think you guys have everything you need going, and you certainly are a great representative. I love listening to you talk, because it's partially educational in the fact that you've trimmed away everything that we don't need to talk about and got directly to the punch. So we know that a big need out there for many small buildings, because they have little, probably a thermostat, maybe even a programmable thermostat at best. The opportunities are huge. So we're looking at 46 million, or what was the numbers there again? But we're wasting a lot of energy, and you have a great solution, and you're getting prepared to deploy it further in North America. Tell us about your plans.
Yeah, 4.6 million buildings, I believe was the number. So our plans are to develop a reseller network. So we're going basically across the United States, Canada, Mexico, actually across the world. We have an office in the UK. I set up an office there. We have an office in Australia, and we're basically moving across the world. And it started off with English speaking, because we're all English speakers, but we didn't want to be self-limiting to English language, for example. So what we've done is, one of our recent developments is we've added language translation, automatic language translation on the fly. So when you, as a user of the system, if you have a preference to see your system in Spanish, you can change your browser language at the click of a button, and your entire Proton system will show up in Spanish. Nice. And it does so instantly and automatically. So you can jump between Spanish and English and French, whichever language is your preference of the ones we support. And if you don't like the words we've chosen, you've got a nice little editor, and you can edit on the fly and change the language. So it actually changes the words that appear in the software on the screen. Now, this is like magic, all right? When you see it, it's almost unbelievable. recently we did a trade show in Indonesia, and we're looking to recruit there. I don't know if you you guys are aware, but Indonesia is one of the world's most populous countries. And I was in Jakarta, and Jakarta is a city of 20-something million people, and it's like going to five cities in one city. You drive, you see a city, nice. And then you drive a little further, and you see another city. It's that big. And so what we did was we added three languages in this new release that's going to drop soon, for Tagalog, which is for the Philippines, Turkish for our Turkish friends, and Indonesian. Those three countries represent about 425 million people that can use controls in their local language. So we're really doing some interesting things in that area to make it local friendly.
Well, and I think it gets back to the usability factor. I mean, one of the profound statements you make is, you know, you just don't want another system that gets hung on the wall and doesn't really get used. It becomes as usable, accessible. And you guys do a lot with it. Your web training is fantastic. You know, again, for our listeners out there, sort of speak, I mean, you guys are kind of controls agnostic in a way. You kind of put an overlay on top of whatever existing controls you have in there, right? So you're sort of an interface between the controls and the user.
You bet. So we can operate as an entire control system on our own, or we can layer onto an existing legacy system and work side by side with the existing system. So we have taken BACnet into our system and Modbus, the most common industry protocols. Modbus used more on the monitoring side, you know, boiler interfaces and different drives and whatnot. BACnet, well, just about everything in our world now has some kind of a BACnet connective element. We've also added in some web connectivity stuff too, so that as you get data from the internet, like weather data, we convert that automatically to BACnet so that you can use it in your programming. You can take outside air temperature from a weather station or from a live web interface. There's going to be more and more of those kinds of connections. In fact, that's where I see integration going for us, is not so much hardwired integrations as we're probably used to, you know, the old days of connecting wires and pulling in another system. I think it's going to be more about web-to-web connections or internet-to-internet site connections. And those will be dissimilar data sets, because one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and you've seen some of my articles that I've put out there, me and my colleagues, we've been talking a lot about combined energy and building management, and that's slicing across the different silos of data. And there's all kinds of silos that we have, in particularly in building automation systems. You have historical data, that's one silo. You have alarm data, that's one silo. You have user activity, that's yet another silo. But you don't get any insight on your system when you have all these silos. So you really have to cut across them to get insight. Is something working well? How does this one perform against this one? And those are the kinds of things that we're going to do with our system. We're going to provide more contextual information. So when an alarm occurs, it doesn't just say analog variable, 1202 is in alarm. It's going to say, you know, the chill water valve is stuck. You may want to call the chiller tech. You know, it's going to be a bit smarter, a bit easier for people to use.
Yeah, and you can refer back to Control Trends. Steve posted two great articles, one on how to do demand control, an approach to demand control, and the other is how to make alarms useful. So that's great information, Steve. You know, it kind of comes from a guy who's been around the controls industry for a while. So, you know, if you listen to Steve before, you know he has quite a stellar controls career. He's been around a bunch, and it's kind of nice to see that wisdom coming back with an innovative company.
Yeah, look, we also have a philosophical sort of desire to mentor the young guys coming into the business. So for our contracting partners, we go out and we share those stories, and you know, whether it's war stories from when we first started on paint buckets trying to get things going, or whatever, we're trying to share all that insight and mentor the young folks.
We sure do appreciate that. And of course, Steve, we got to thank you for your sponsorship of the Control Trends Awards. Steve and his staff will be at the Control Trends Awards in Chicago, and they've got several products that are and people that are up for nomination. So if you like what you hear, click on the ballot on Control Trends and vote for these guys. They deserve it, man. Right?
Yes. Thanks for inviting us to be part of that. We're so excited. We were last year. It was super exciting to win the Control Trends Award for light commercial. We're still sort of basking in the glow of that sparkling trophy. I had to bring it back with me to my colleague, so it's now out of my reach. But look, we're really, really thrilled to be part of the organization. We love you know, participating and sharing stories. You'll probably be hearing a bit more from us too, because we're going to be streaming out almost on a weekly basis, if not every 10 days. We'll be putting out articles and case studies. We have some amazing stories for some of the highest performing buildings in the world are running our software and getting the benefit out of easy to use software that's combined energy and building management.
Well, listen, please send those links to us. We'll make sure we post them for our Control Trends community. And Stevie G, man, we sure do appreciate you. Best website for people to get more information out about your company.
So a little hard to pronounce, but easy to spell, OPTERGY.com, Optergy. And if you get stuck on my name, Steve Guzalemian, well, you'll find me under Optergy too.
Just call him Stevie G like I do. Kenny can pronounce his name. I still can't. I apologize, Steve. So, man, Steve, anything else before we wrap it up, my friend?
Yeah, just that we are going to be at the HR.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to be sharing some new things that I'm not prepared to talk about right now, but I'm sure your listeners will be interested. So we'll probably drop some news about that shortly before. And we are going to be at booth 3836. So if you're mapping your AHR Expo show, just go to map your show. And then if you look up Optergy, we're easy to find in there. And you'll see some links and some pictures and videos. So those videos, the one that you referenced, the 60-minute video will be up there. And yeah, we're going to have a big booth and lots to show. So yeah, super excited.
Kenny and I, we're definitely coming by the booth, so we'll be there too. But yeah, definitely check that out. Anything else, Kenny, before we hop off?
No, I just I invite our Control Trends community to please visit the Control Trends and do these links. While we were talking, every time you all mentioned one, I went to this.
Kenny's already plugged in four systems while we were talking.
No. I tell you what, if I had Steve, I got to get Steve I got to listen to him more, because he just has those ideas and how to isolate the issues from the wheat from the chaff. But like the combining energy building management systems to improve performance, asset performance. I mean, that is a great, insightful article that everybody can read and benefit from. So we have probably about five of those posts on Control Trends in 2017. Every one of them contains golden nuggets of information. So we invite everybody to please visit those sites and familiarize yourself with Optergy and get ready to buy some right away.
That's right. That's right. Stevie, we'll see you in Chicago, my man. Thanks so much.
Right on.
All right, man. Good stuff from Stevie G there, huh, Kenny?
Yeah, well, you know, he's a very bright guy with incredible experience, and I really like his positive way of focusing on new opportunities. And that was one of the things we prefaced, is that if one door closes, one door opens. But we've got a heck of a market out there that's underserved, and it's a very serious opportunity to take a simple, scalable solution that's affordable and go after the averaged size building, which is 8,000 square feet. I would have lost that bet too.
Right. I would have too. And boy, can he turn a phrase. But thinking of a guy who can turn a phrase, another one of the brightest guys in the industry, we had a couple of his posts up this week. Our friend Mark P. Talk from Link Spring. Mark, we miss you, buddy. We're getting ready for the Control Trends Awards. And man, you had a couple of great posts. They have introduced a new controller, the Link Spring Edge 534. We got a couple of posts on that, including a webinar that you can register for. I think that's still where you can still get on that or not. Hopefully it hadn't passed yet. That is going to be on, damn, Kenny. It's going
to
be November 13th.
Yep.
From 1 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. So you want to check that out. But that's going to be a cool product there, Kenny. And again, Mark Petock, the team at Linkspring, doing a great job. And we need to get Mark back on, hear what's happening with those guys. Because you talk about somebody's position for the race to the small space, does a lot of small buildings already. Mark and the team at Linkspring do a great job with that.
They sure do. And we're going to see a lot more of Mark here in the very near future. So, Mark, we hope you're doing well, despite the fact that the New York Giants are really having a lousy, lousy, lousy season. Sorry about
it's
that.
Okay, Mark. You can come talk to us, even though the Giants are so bad. We're not going to make fun of your team, the New York Midgets. I mean, Giants, right? So, yeah. Well, the Falcons are terrible, too. I'm one to be talking. So, listen, a couple other good posts, Kenny, but one that really, I think, bears reading, if you haven't read it yet, is a guy that we got hooked up with, Kenny, at one of the Niagara summits, Steve Blank. Brilliant, brilliant guy. We read a lot of his stuff, and I couldn't resist posting this, sort of given in light of some of the mergers going on and some of the buyouts. He's basically, it's an article about sort of how venture capitalists are tasked to produce results. Guess what? We talk about nobody's immune in this new economy. These guys, they might have $400 billion to invest, but they've got to invest and they got to get a return on investment on it. So one of the interesting things that struck me as interesting is they're saying basically now they got so many dollars chasing so few opportunities that these guys are really scrambling to try and make deals, right? So they're saying that whereas before, the venture capitalists had all the control, now they're saying to make all kinds of concessions, so the seller has a lot more options. So if you think about selling your business, check this thing out, man. I'm pretty sure John Donahue did before he sold. So,
well, congratulations, by the way, John. I'm jealous. Never mind.
Well, I'm jealous and I do mind, but I'm happy for you, brother. I'm very, very, very happy for you. So, you know, we had a couple of great posts we mentioned about, you know, Steve Galizium. Check those out on A Better Way to Explain Alarms and How to Do Demand Control. You put a great post up, Kenny, about the Belimo's America's Lab Store and about their quality and their innovation. And hey, I want to talk about that post, but before we do, let's bring our next guest on. How about introducing him?
Gentleman is no stranger to control trends. We're seeing him in different uniforms. This time we have David Alaban. He's the manager of sensor solutions at Belimo, and he's got a lot of really, really cool, interesting stuff to share with us. Welcome to the show, David.
Welcome, David.
Hey, Kenny. Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to see you and speak to you.
Well, listen, first question I've got is, how are you finding time to work at Belimo, given the fact that what I'm reading is you're the next Bond and you're filming the next Bond movie?
Oh, it's all comes in hand. We've got to be flexible and pretty productive, Eric.
Right. So you're kind of like the man with the golden censor, right? So.
Exactly.
There you go. So, David, you know, I saw you last about 2 weeks ago down at Atlantis at the Belimo Platinum meeting. And I tell you what, I got to tell you, I came back very, very excited, very, very pumped up. You know, yourself, the rest of the team, Chad, Jim Furlong, you know, we knew you guys were in sensors, right? And yep. We knew that was kind of a focus for you. But when Jim Furlong, the CEO, says, hey, we don't want to just be in the sensor game. We want to reinvent it. And if I think about Belimo, what you guys invest in research and development, what you guys have done to sort of change the way controls are doing, I mean, everything from the direct coupled actuator to the characterized ball valve, dude, that is a bold statement. So first of all, I think you're a uniquely qualified guy to answer that and see if Jim's on the mark here, because you've been in the sensor game for quite some time. Give our viewers a little bit of your background and then sort of talk a bit about Jim's statement.
Of course. There's a lot of people in Belimo excited. We're all excited about the sensors. You know, we've added sensors into our mission statement. We've created a new division for sensors along with air and water. So, you know, we're in this for the long term and, you know, we're very serious about sensors. And from my background, you know, as you know, I was with Mamak for many years and progressed. also worked with Thermacon in the sensor industry. So I'm really excited that, you know, Belimo are getting involved in sensors and the way they view sensors. And so, you know, a little bit of the history, you know, we're, as you said before, with the direct coupled actuator. You know, that's where Belimo started, and we've progressed a lot since then. We've developed the actuator business with the brushless DC motors and adding microprocessors into the actuators and performance devices. Then we went into the valve, the water industry. So natural progression is, you know, as we see, a complement to valves and actuators is sensors. Okay. You know, we see sensors as being very important in the future, and the importance of gathering data, you know, monitoring and gathering data within the buildings and the zones.
Well, dude, how do you make a sensor better? I mean, you know, because I know and I have no doubt all you have to do is look at Belimo's track record with how they've impacted whatever they've gotten into with unique design and unique, you know, capabilities. But like I say, you've been doing sensors for a long time. I mean, how do you make sensors? I mean, how do you change the sensor again?
Well, yeah, it's that's a big question. And it's a question, you know, why are Belimo doing sensors, you know, and I'm really genuinely excited about the Belimo range. Okay, it's we've really raised the bar on the quality of the sensor industry. Okay, you know, it might be basic stuff, but we've you know, all of our sensors are UL listed. You know, there's a lot of investment and efforts gone into making sure our sensors are UL listed. We offer a one standard product across the range to suit all applications. So we offer NEMA 4X IP65 as standard across our range. So, you know, it helps with product selection. You know, you don't have to worry about, do I need a NEMA 1, a NEMA 2, a NEMA 4 for the job? We offer NEMA 4X as standard across the range, so we can cover all applications. Okay. Along with that, we have different technologies, humidity. We offer the highest, or a standard will offer a 2% accurate. You know, we'll add features such as measuring relative humidity, absolute humidity, dew point, and enthalpy, all in one device. So we're kind of adding nice little technologies and features to that. But also we recognize the importance of, you know, helping out with the contractors and installation engineers in terms of making it easier to install. So the product's been kind of developed to assist with installation. We have a snap cover with no screws. We have various mounting plates and mounting accessories, all to make it easy to install.
Well, Dave, I'm on the website, and I have to give Belimo compliments. What a pretty website. We got to talk to some of the folks that were responsible for that IoT style website. So it's a great website to navigate through and to get to the sensors that people need to start seeing. Because I don't know if people realize that you just beyond the duct, the pipe, the outside air, you guys now are a full range sensor provider to include free stats, to include, like you said, humidity transmitters that are very, very stylish. But just give us a kind of a A to Z, what sure. all sensors, when we say sensors, what all is involved with sensors?
Okay. So as I said before, we're setting the stage to create the future. Okay, so while we've had experience in the past with sensors, with our performance devices, sensor inputs in the energy valve and integrated sensors within the flow sensors. So this first phase release, released duct sensors, pipe sensors, and outdoor sensors. So we're measuring all applications for temperature, humidity, air quality, which include CO2 sensors and VOC sensors, pressure for both air and water, and also our existing line of flow sensors. So that pretty much covers the first phase release. And, you know, we're already setting the stage to create the future. We're also working on new innovation and new technology in other areas and other applications, which we're very excited about. So this is the first phase release. And, you know, we're continuously, as Belimo do, we're continuously innovating and very excited about that.
Well, you know, the thing that I'm really looking at, too, is that you also are doing the pressure transmitters. No, so, yeah. So my mind, when I hear sensors, I think of, you know, things that are, like you said, the duct, the wall outside and everything. But this is a full A to Z line of everything to do with pressure, temperature, and humidity with pressure transmitters like the low boiler, you know, the 0 to 15 pound steam. You know, you have a sensor for that. So it's quite an array. So I invite our control trans community to please visit the Belimo website and take a look at some of these incredible new products. Which one's your favorite one, Dave? You always have a favorite one, David.
Yeah, I kind of like I see a lot of value in a differentiator in humidity sensors and the low pressure sensors. So Humidity wise, we offer 2% as standard at a very competitive price. But the ability to have, you know, that will come configured to relative humidity. But the ability to select absolute humidity, dew point, and enthalpy all in the same device is a nice feature, you know, off the shelf, you know, a standard at a competitive price. We can also offer that with BACnet and Modbus as well. Also, like the low pressure transducer, which, you know, 8 field selectable ranges. We have a true auto zero feature and also a manual calibration feature. And at the low pressure range, we have an extremely high accuracy of, you know, which is plus or minus 0.004 inches water column. So that's pretty cool.
That's really, really tight. And again, this is stuff that's available today. And what excited me, and they shared with us how much of your guys' budget you spend every day on research and development, which I'm not allowed to say, but it's a lot. I was astounded how much money you guys put back into developing products. And again, you know, I think what I can't say enough is this is just the beginning. I mean, this is a long-term commitment from what I'm hearing.
It is.
From the folks at Belimo, and you guys are out to reinvent the sensor game. So
exactly, yeah. It's just this is, as I said before, Eric Kenny. This is phase one. You know, we're already working on development and innovation for the future. And you know, if anyone is going to be successful in sensors, you know, that's why I joined Belimo. It's you know, great support, great team. Great people and very dedicated, and just love the Belimo customer values that we offer.
So what? Let's get into the W word here, real quick.
Okay.
What about wireless? What are you guys thinking about regarding wireless?
We're looking at, yeah, that's coming in the future. That's definitely coming in the future, and yeah, that will be on the future roadmap in the coming years. For sure.
We follow Belimo closely, and we took an in-depth review of the lab tour on Mount Belimo. We called it. I had a daughter that went to school in Rhode Island, and I drove past the exit for Belimo several times a year. So occasionally I'd go in and visit. And I was there when they were building the new facility up on that hill. And I thought, there's Mount Belimo. You know, it sounded right. It looks right. And it's quite a facility. Tell us about that. What's it like to go to work in that kind of a facility?
It's a state-of-the-art facility. It's amazing. It's a great place to work. Really high tech and a comfortable place to work. It's really, really, really great.
So, you know, when we look at, you know, reinventing sensors, because I think, you know, if you look at IoT is driven by sensors. I mean, sensors everywhere. There's going to be a sensor for everything. Do you, and if you can't answer this, I understand. Do you see Belimo branching out from just sort of the HVAC building automation controls to other sorts of sensors, or you think they're going to keep within the focus of our industry?
Yeah, at the moment, I think the focus is within, as always, to keep within our industry, okay? But, you know, we do, and the reason we have gone into the sensor industry, because, you know, we see the importance of gathering this sensor data and the necessity to gather this sensor data in the future, okay? So we all know the power in analytics, you know, but if you can't do the analytics if you're not sensing the data.
Right, and of course, when you look at your products, like your energy valve, for instance, and now you got the ultrasonic sensor in there, the flow meter in there, so you almost... For your product, I'd like to say, and I don't know whether this is accurate or not, that, you know, you had to come up with a sensor that was equal to the quality of the rest of your product portfolio, your valves and actuators. So, you know, if you can't buy one, then build it, right?
Well, yeah, again, I think of very well, a famous U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln, once said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Okay.
I love that, man. I thought you said that.
I thought it was David Alabama, wasn't it? I've heard that before, yes.
No, but your point's well taken, man. Yeah, and I think that's the history of Belimo, right? You guys continually invent the future.
And we are continuing to do so. You know, it's a cool company, and they continuously innovate, and there's no sign of stopping there. And with the Internet of Things, as we keep hearing, yeah, that's where we're moving to as well.
Well, David, you had mentioned that this was your first release, and are we allowed to ask what do you have on the roadmap for your second release, or is that going to come out in AHR or something?
Yeah, maybe not so quickly into AHR, but you know, we're looking at some kind of zone or air kind of technology. That's about all I'm going to commit to at the moment.
Ooh, I my imagination's running amok here. Okay,
sounds it good. It is. Well, you know, you're dealing with Bond here, so you got to be careful because
stuff. And so our philosophy here is like, you know, get on the train now because you know, we are innovating in sensors. Get on board now with what we've got and grow with us.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And remember, David has a license to kill. He's David Bond. David Alabama Bond. Well, you know, I think I love too, David, about Belimo, because it was kind of ask. I mean, you guys are dancing all around the control system itself, right? I mean, and I think somebody asked at the meeting, well, why don't you guys just go ahead and develop a control system? You guys said, you know what? We're going to stick with what we're good at and what we can dominate at and really improve. And sensors fits that criteria. Controls, not that we couldn't build them, but, you know, we want to be the world leader in what we focus on.
Exactly, and our focus is peripherals and devices, and that's what we the value we bring to the table, you know, and that's what our focus is on.
You know, David, I had a question too when I took some notes here, and the VOC sensors, once upon a time, that used to be a very big, it was like a novelty where unlike the indoor air quality, of course, isn't a novelty. It's very important. And, you know, carbon dioxide and cycling in schools and everything, we're all pretty familiar with that. But the when we had a VOC, kind of a splurge was back when they used to use them to alert cigarette smoking in bathrooms, colleges and high schools. What other benefits do you get using the VOC sensors, and how what's our market approach on it?
Okay, VOC sensors, I think people are, the technology has not come along far enough yet, okay, for people to be confident in using VOC sensing within the US. You know, it's very difficult to identify what oxide or what gas you're measuring because it accounts for so many different values. So, yeah, I believe the technology needs to come along a long way further before we heavily invest or progress with this VOC. But CO2, yes, we've our CO2 sensors, you know, Belimo, we're obviously a big opportunity for projects, and we only offer what we call dual channel calibration technology, which is the self calibration, and dual channel, which we believe is the best for CO2 monitoring.
Well, David, listen, how does our control trans community get more information on the Belimo sensors?
Okay, well, we can obviously new cool website we have, www.belimo.us. And also, you can contact your local Belimo distributors.
Right, your local Belimo distributor in the U.S. That would be DMS Controls Group and Stromquist and Company, right?
Only our favorite, Eric Kinney.
nice
plug, Eric. Well done, baby.
Yeah, and David, you're gonna be at AHR in the Control Trends Awards, right?
Yes, we'll be there. I'll be doing a presentation on the sensors. We'll have this. Obviously, have the sensors along with all the other cool Belimo products on display. But upcoming in the near future, we've got our sensor application specialists, Clayton Plymill. He'll be doing a presentation in November on the importance of pressurization within commercial buildings. So that's going to be pretty cool. And I know there's a lot of interest in that and a lot of people signed up already.
Right. And we'll put a link. You know, you guys do such great webinars, and we always put a link so people can come through Control Trends to sign up for that. And that I think we'll be posting in the next couple of days. And and you'll be at the Control Trends Awards. So
100% we'll be there. And
And Belimo is a platinum sponsor again. So, you know, thank you so much for that.
No, you're more than welcome. It's, you know, we love working with you guys and we love what you do as always.
So, listen, if you'd sign up and just say Bond. David Bond. That would be a great sign.
Okay, Kenny, Eric.
Or Belimo Bond. Belimo Bond. Belimo Bond. Do that. Okay. That's even better.
Thanks, Kenny, Eric. Signing off. This is Bond. Belimo Bond.
Nice. Well done, David. Well done. All right, man. So, David,
Great job from David Alabama. And Kenny, you know, I mean, this lab thing, I think, just explains a lot, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, Mount Bellemo, when I first saw that, again, I've said this several times, but it was very impressive, just the location. Whoever picked it out, really, you had a commanding you know, point in landscape where it looks like Mount Bellemo. It's got a lot of orange on it. It's a very attractive building. But inside of it is one of the most modern test facilities in the world. And when you go through here, you see the investment they made into really taking the science aspects of it and how they arranged it. You know, the test center itself and how they have to calibrate this stuff constantly, and they've got the best equipment in the world and the best instruments in the world, and that's why when they say that these things have how many cycles it can do and why they can offer a 5-year warranty on all their parts, it pretty well swells it out, because they built it so well they can actually have the confidence in the actual performance of the stuff that it's going to last, because it's designed to last those engineering cycles. So it's a very impressive video and a very impressive facility. And I think we're going to go be visiting that. We will visit that facility here in the near future.
I hope we get a chance to meet Jim Furlong, or go up and interview Jim Furlong, who's Upper Executive of the Year on the Control Trends Awards. And I've met him a couple of times, Kenny. Very, very, very impressive individual. So very, very good stuff with him. And then, dude, big, big news. They probably already got the parade plan. Mark your calendar for the 2018 Niagara Summit.
Well, sure. That's going to be down in New Orleans like it was last year. And I'll tell you what, we got to you get to see that firsthand and get some views behind the curtain. What an amazing event that is. And the parade that started it off was my first New Orleans parade. So I'd never been in a parade before and taking on that funky, that really cool Mardi Gras attitude down there, where you're kind of moving to the band going down the street, and it's a great location, and I know they're really beefing up the guns, because they're coming off some of the great aspects of Niagara 4. They're adding to that whole product line, so there's going to be a great technical side, there's going to be a great marketing side. We're seeing more and more information that you need to stay involved in, because now these software maintenance agreements are coming up on their first year for renewal, and you need to know the ins and outs of and the benefits of being on top of that. And for the people selling Niagara, that's a great opportunity to continuously, keep an owner of facilities stuff up to speed with the best patching, with the best security, with the best features that are part of the Niagara 4. There's so much under the hood there. It's very difficult to fully utilize all those important tools.
Kenny, you're not justifying enough, buddy. Look, April, springtime in New Orleans, April 15th through the 17th. Just go. You'll have a great time and you'll learn some stuff, okay? But sign up now. Be there, be square. Speaking of cool smart building products, our good friend George Thomas and the team at Contemporary Controls. Dude, there is a whole set of stuff that we posted that these guys have brought out, including a BAS control tool set, which includes a BAS emulator, a BAS control project management simplified with BAS backup. It goes on and on. The advantages of the BSA controller, they got their open controller out. They talk about that, and let's make it secure on top of that. So George Thomas and the team at Contemporary is rocking and rolling. We thank them for their sponsorship for the Control Trends Awards. They're on the ballot in several categories, so be sure to check those guys out. But they just keep rocking, don't they, Kenny? George Thomas, man, he just gets the job done. And globally, right? He's not just in the U.S.
Sure. I think, first of all, to give credit, he's a member of the Control Trends Hall of Fame. And the reason why is he's one of the fathers of, all the things that we take for granted, actually had to be invented. He actually started from his basement, literally. You talk about the American success story, did a stint in the military, became an engineer, and then he never looked back. But they really understand networks. And once you understand networks, then you understand what the next most important thing is. And as we heard from our previous guests, quality is paramount. So when you need to know, that something works, I think Contemporary Controls have probably sold every single systems integrator in the country and in the business one of their routers that goes from MSTP to IP. And then they also are very, very big, heavy influencers and players in the different protocols, especially Sedona. And so they believe in open. George Thomas believes in open. So anything to that point, but great company. They got great technical support and they make great products. So, yeah, global. They're definitely a global player.
No, it's good stuff. Good stuff. And again, you can vote for them on the ballots up there, the CTA nomination ballot. We got about another week and a half before we go. We announce the finalists. So if you haven't voted or nominated yet, please do so. And we had a great post with SkySpark, but Kenny, we got to sort of wind it down so you can read that post on Control Trends, our good friend John Petsy, and they're in the news. But then I think last but not least, I mean, it's the first of the month, and that means that Ken Sinclair's automatedbuildings.com is out. And I think we'll have Ken on next week or the week after to talk about it. But give our listeners a little overview of what they can expect in this week's, this month's.
Well, we have our word of the week, which is LIGOmetry. And that is the process of quantifying things that you know you don't know. So, and then Ken's collection of A words. There's six A words that Ken believes are going to be the drivers in us adopting the IoT. You have to be agile, adaptive, autodidactic, autonomous, accepted, and action. So the it's a six-word litany of what we need to do, all of us, to get into the mode for change. Because and then what I really enjoyed about this one was that Ken St. Clair and Tree Sullivan worked together to create what they call the Timeline Smart Building Automation Evolution, with 100 events linking 1,000 articles of history. So Tree Sullivan came up with one of those photo books that you can slide it, and then when you hit on it, it gives you the brief synopsis of it. But Ken St. Clair has been doing this for 20 years, hard and heavy, and he's probably chronicled our industry better than anybody in the industry as far as what is coming up, what's impacting, who the people that are driving these changes, what their thoughts are. And it's all in his very succinct, ability to read and to slide on a timeline. So it goes back, 20 years, and we're in there too. Control Trends is listed there for 2008. Eric Stromquist created Control Trends. And then we've had some good fortune, but there's also very important stuff on the articles. In a very serious sense, there's another continuation of Master Systems Integrators, why you need them. There's another great interview with Scott Cochran and one of his colleagues. We've got some building automation control intelligent ventilation system. I mean, it's just the edition.
Just chock full of stuff you need to know,
And then for any student out there, we're getting a lot of inquiries from young people, and we're really happy to be able to send them to the right places. You know, if you're looking for information about our industry, you're looking for references. We had Josh Bradshaw sent us an email earlier this morning, Eric. I didn't get a chance to get back to him about a question on. Let me see if I can find it, and we'll throw that to our Control Trends community because I don't know the answer to it, I don't know how important it is to Josh. I know that he says, what does this mean, guys? Can you help me with my building systems ignorance on a bit here? Not having been a systems integrator, I'm not sure exactly what this means. It comes from somebody who works in a hospital. In parentheses, it says, we are implementing CFD modeling for all raised floor spaces and real-time monitoring and control at the rack level for heat rejection on the raised floor. It's already in operation. So he says, what does CFD, how is that term used, and what does it mean? Is it more for servers and server rooms? Can you explain? So anybody out there that wants to help us answer Josh, please do.
Come up with an answer that Josh likes, we'll give you a free ticket to the Control Trends Award. So we're rock and roll with that. What do you think? So, Kenny, here's a Trivial Pursuits question for you. I'm looking at this timeline. By the way, Therese Sullivan, Ken Sinclair, awesome job with this timeline. It's absolutely beautiful, and we got to get both Ken and Therese back on. Kenny, Trivial Pursuits question for you. What happened on January 10th, 2013? No cheating. You better know this.
January 10th. No, it's the first Control Trends Award.
First Control Trends Award in Dallas, Texas. So this is a marvelous, marvelous accomplishment, Ken and Therese. It's beautiful.
Please send us your marketing collateral so that we can post it and get you pumped up and get you in front of the Control Trends community so that you can get more exposure. There's no losers here. Everybody wins because you're out there to market. You're out there to make social media work for you. So give it to us to present on Control Trends, and we will repurpose it and move it.
Because there's going to be a big party in January in Chicago, and you don't want to be like Cinderella. You do want to be the belle of the ball. So with that, Kenny Smyers, a special thanks to our Control Trends community, our two great guests, Steve Glizzin and Bolimo Bond. So with that, Kenny, have a great week. Remember, be bold, stay in control, and stay relevant.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smarks.